So today's Daf is Daf Lamed Hey, and towards the end of last year, I mean, we got up to the Mishnah because we got into the Daf a bit. I just want to add one more point for the previous shiur. It's actually interesting because we're discussing the question, what happens regarding if someone injures a person and there were sores around where he ended up injuring and it impacted it somehow negatively, but around him, not the point of the injury. And we said that it was a question brought a brayta, and it was Dorish the Psukim Rapur Yerapeh. And we saw that actually it would seem to be Rapur Yerapeh means the scope of Rapur Yerapeh is much broader, so it could even encompass the responsibility for that side residual impact, or not residual, the side impact that it one is chayev. But not for Shevet, because you don't have the double Lashon by Shevet. Then Rabbi Shimon, the way we ended was Chiddush Chiddush HaKatov BaParsha HaZot, Shiten Shevet V'Ripui, meaning Rak Shivto Yitem Rapur Yerapeh, that they're connected together. Now, the way I explained it was the way I understood it from the Maror Fulda, which was, if you're not chayav on shevet, you're not chayav on ripui. Seem to suggest, if I understood it correctly, that, well, since you're not chayav on shevet, you're not chayav on ripui in this situation. That's how I thought of it. It's actually the opposite in Pnei Moshe. It says, no kol shechayav b'ripui, chayav b'shevet, which is, well, if you're merabbe rapoy rapeh to chayav in this situation, you also chayav b'shevet. So it sounds like everyone, the kol alma, going to the Pnei Moshe's way of saying it, is that everyone agrees is chayav in this in the sorry to the ripui for this type of fringe, if you like, effect, whereas the machlok is only about shevet. Okay, beseder. Anyway, I just wanted to finish that, go back over the last point, because the last bit of the shiur kind of it wasn't as clear as I would have liked. Okay, let's know halacha gimel now. Shevet ro'in oto ki ilu shomer kishuim. In other words, when you pay someone shevet, what are you paying him for? Let's say he's a very powerful, I don't know, lawyer or something, or someone who gets paid by the hour, very high fees, I don't know. Then do you pay him exactly his hourly rate? So the Mishnah says no. The rate we pay him is for a very menial task. If he would be shomer kishuim, if he'd be watching over, I don't know, cucumbers. Why? Because you've already paid him the nezek component. So let me just explain this here in the Maror Fulda. He says the shevet you're paying him, kol yomei achole, ro'in oto ki'ilu hu shomer kishumi. Look at him as if it was a very simple task. He's not going to pay very much. Just someone who's watching over cucumbers, a guard there. V'noten schiruto, shel kol yom, and that day during his recovery, that's the what he's being paid. Why? Because now, as a result of being injured, this is the way he's explaining now. We'll see in more detail when we get to the Gemara. Is that, let's say, once the recovery is complete, he won't be able to do that more physical task anymore because you cut off his hand. Meaning, yes, granted, maybe a lawyer's not a good example because at the times of Mishnah, payment was based on one's physical ability. Let's talk about it that way. Here, nowadays, you can have people that aren't physically able that can have be paid very, very much. But we're trying to say now that as a result of the injury going forward, you won't be able to, even if you healed instantly, he wouldn't be able to do the type of activities he used to be able to do as a result. So therefore, the shevet during his recovery is for a much more basic task. That's what we're saying now. Is that the only thing? But we'll get to that soon. Boshet, when it comes to shame, how do you assess that? Well, it's always that one is going to be more subjective. Because I call up a mishmin payesh, meaning who caused the shame and who was the subject of the shame, it's going to make a difference. More respectable individual, he was shamed by someone more important. I think we've discussed this before, maybe. It's going to be really proportional. In other words, we have to understand the full context to how to assess the shame. What if someone shamed someone who's already naked? Someone who's blind, or embarrassed someone while they're sleeping? So were they embarrassed by that? Oh, at the time, probably not, but what do we do? Nonetheless, chayev. However, v'yashan, if someone's asleep and causes an injury, like if he's sleepwalking or rolling over, whatever he does, and he shames a person, then he's patur. Similarly, nafal min agag v'zik, if someone falls from a roof and causes damage, ubiyesh, and he causes shame, chayev ala nezek upatur ala boshet. Yes, he's obviously chayev for any damage he caused, because again, nezek, it doesn't matter if you were shogeg or mezid. However, busha, you're patur, patur ala boshet. And this is an important point when it comes to boshet. The person had to have intended to do the shame. Now that pasuk is referring to the shame, has to pay in the context of there were two men grappling, it says in the Torah, and the wife of one tried to save her husband. She grabbed this the other party by his private parts, it says, and in that situation she has to pay shame. So in other words, it was an intentional act. We see the context of the pasuk. Okay, let's now continue. This is now the Gemara. Shevet ro'in oto. Now, because the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hachat ma ro'in oto ki ilu shomai kishum. Here in our case, and we said in the Mishnah, we don't look at what he used to earn. We just simply say, oh, what's the Shevet component of compensation? Okay, if it was a shomer kishuim, if it was a pumpkin guard, sorry, or cucumber melons or cucumber guard, let's call it that, that he, like a much lower rate, a basic, what's called minimum wage type of thing. But there, the Hachan is a bride that says, no, Hayaso Mane Bayom Noten no Mane, the seller Noten seller. We look at what was his daily rate and he can't work now. You've got to fully compensate him. How do you miyashiv this Mishnah with the other brighter? Samar Rabbi Yitzhak, train Shevatim Inun. There's two, you have to, he said, you have to appreciate Shevet compensation for, again, the fact he can't work while he's recovering. Is there are two types. It depends on what type of injury we're dealing with. Hikal Yadovikita. Why? In other words, here we're explaining that why isn't the case where the person cut off his hand that you don't pay in his full, loss of potential income he could have been earning during recovery, is because you're already paying him significantly for the fact that he lost his hand. That nezek component is going to be huge. So therefore, and that effectively somewhat encompasses, if you like, the reduced fact that he can work, what he can produce going forward because of the nezek reducing his value. That's like you look at in the slave market, see what he could do. So that's why in that situation, the shevet we say is, okay, let's look at the reduced value. However, the she'im kviyah, there's different gear set changes here, but the im really, she'im kviyah, sorry, al kaf etzava, kaf roshov etzava, or if, however, it's a type of situation where the injury is such that you will fully recover and you won't be playing nezek, here it says chayil rafoto. However, the Shiro Nisko continues with the Ramban, the Nusach of the Ramban. He says the shevet ro'in oto. However, you still look at Ayose maneh b'yom noten lo maneh b'yom sela b'yom noten lo b'sela. In other words, because there is no nezek component, it's in that context we give him the full shevet, the full fact that he couldn't do any work. Okay, fine. Which is a bit different way to explain it, because according to Marafulda, it's because if you could put it, the way we spell the Mishnah, you could say no, because he could have been working in full capacity, like his hands is therefore you've got to pay him the full amount. If you feel like that, again, the way I explain the Mishnah and the Gemara was slightly different. Let's continue. Tani, the Shichah Yada. This is referring to the case where I said in the case in the rest of the Torah with the bush of the Isha. So Vishichah Yada, velo eshet shaliach beitim. However, Tani Chorin, Tani. And now we've got another bride. It says, "V'shilach yada l'arbot isha eshet shaliach beitin." So let's say the shaliach beitin is going to inflict a punishment, and that shaliach beitin gets into a bit of a grapple, a bit of a fight with this person he's been instructed to deal with, and then the isha comes along and tries to save her husband. The isha, the shaliach beitin, by being mivushav, then we say that she would be pator. So that's why it says, "V'shichay yada." Meaning her specifically, v'lo eshet, v'lo she'eshet lepe, there's this exclusion. However, there's another writer that says even the eshet shliach beitin. How does that work? It's very simple. Manda amar v'shicha yada v'lo eshet shliach beitin. The case where we say that the eshet shliach beitin is not chayiv for the bosha caused would be a situation where the shliach beitin b'shikau is b'shikau bereshut, when he was able to do so. And that is because if you think about it, the shliach beitin himself, when he's inflicting a punishment on the person he's meant to inflict a punishment from, he himself is patur from boshet. He's patur from animals and elements of compensation. That's what he's instructed Bavitin to do. So the chiddush of the Torah is that even the isha, even his wife, if for some reason she's coming to save him, would also be patur, would expand to his wife as well. Okay? That's what it seems to be. However, ma'andamar l'rabot isha, but the situation with eshet shaliach would be chayiv, that's bishikau shlom. That's when the Shliach Beitin wasn't going to hit him, but he went to start fighting him, and he started fighting with anyway and started beating him up. That's when the Eshet Shaliach would be Chayav. Okay. Next. Tani. Lo eshet shnehem. Now, it's interesting what this braita is doing. It's three words, very difficult to understand. So the Mara Fulda explains. It says, V'karva eshet echad, mashma v'lo eshet shnayim. So what's my lo eshet shnayim? She'im eshet chaveru hasheni lo echzika mimvusha shel idach patur. Wow. What this means is you've got Reuben fighting with Shimon. Shimon's wife steps in and tries to save Shimon by being echzika mimvusha shel Reuben. Okay? She's chayav. Then now Shimon gets the upper hand and he's about to attack Reuven, and Reuven's wife comes along and does the same thing to Shimon. She'd be patur. That's what we're saying according to the Mara Fulda, which is interesting, because this is one of the few places we see, I think, in the Torah where it says, "Oh, you did it first, therefore I'm patur." Because normally when two people fight, what do we say? We say, "Okay, look at the difference in the punishment." But here it's very strange. I think it is. Anyway, this is, I think, of the few instances I've ever seen where we say, "Oh, you started, therefore." Except for if it's like a case of like a Rodef or something like that, you try to kill me, so I can kill you. But maybe that's a different situation. But I'm saying here, in terms of the Boshet, it seems to be that she did it first, so therefore it's okay if the retaliatory situation would be she wouldn't be chayev. That's a church name. That's the way also, literally the way I explained it, which sounded a bit childish, is what Pana Moshe says. Lefishi he lo hitchelaba. She didn't start it. Okay? That's why she's patur. It's actually very interesting. In the Lishna Acharina of the Mara Fulda, we're not going into in detail now, but it connects us to this whole case that we saw where it was a debate, if you remember, if someone says, "I'm going to marry in 30 days," it's been, "I'm going to marry in 20 days, in 10 days," that she can also have a kesher to all these individuals. So it could be that situation, lo eshet shnehem, meaning that was, or eshet shnayim, that type of strange situation which has some sort of kesher to a number of people. So that's another way of explaining this. Okay, let's continue. It's now halacha daled. Ze chomer ba'adam mibeshor. This is the stringency we find by a human being that causes damage, then one's property or when their ox causes damage. Why? Because we've seen she'adam mishalem et ha'nezek. He pays all elements of compensation, really, it should be. Meaning, for example, the Mishnah says, Nezek tzar ripui shevet boshet, which makes sense. The mashalem demei vladot, that's a discussion we saw as well, if it injures and causes if they fight and it causes a miscarriage. The shor in a mashalem ela nezek, only pays nezek. Or patul mi demei vladot, it doesn't have to pay the if there was a resulting miscarriage. Fine, that's the first part of the Mishnah. Next part. Mekeh aviv v'imo. If someone injures their parent, like hits one of their parents, but doesn't cause a wound. If he caused a wound, bichayev, what did bichayev mita? Okay, it's a capital offense. So if he didn't do that, however, he got the elements of compensation. Or a chavel yom kippurim, where if he causes an injury on Kippur again, even if he causes makes a person bleed, it's not a chayev mita, it's chayev karet, between doing a malach on yom kippur, and therefore you don't have kimelim rabbah, now you bichayev five elements of compensation. Yeah, fair. Next. Hachovel the Eved Ivri Chai Bekulam. If someone injures an Eved Ivri, Jewish Eved, we say he's Chai, but everything chutz min Shevet, this man Shuchulo. If it's his own Eved, well, he doesn't have to pay Shevet because the Shevet's Mushubadlo, meaning not the capacity to work. However, you can't just start beating up your Eved, and therefore you're Chai for all other elements of compensation. This is by an Eved Ivri. What about Eved Knani? Hachovel the Eved Knani Shel Acherim. If you injure somebody else's Eved Knani, then Yechai Bekulam Yisrael, if that's by all the elements of compensation. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein la'avadim boshet, meaning there's no element of boshet for avadim knanim. So I'll just show you here, because it says in Pnei Moshe, Dichtiv ki yinatzu anashim yachtav, ish v'achiv, a man and his brother fighting. And that's when the whole boshet sugya we've just been discussing comes up in. So b'mi sheyesho achva, who is like a brotherhood there, yatzah eved she'enu achva. Right, because he's every Knai is officially going to convert. The Rabbanan Savri Achiv Huba Mitzvah. Rabbanan says no, he's still Chai B'Mitzvahs because an Eved Knani is Chai B'Mitzvah like an Isha. So it seems to be in the last bit, if he injures an Eved Knani, there's a machloka where the Boshet component is payable. However, and it will go to the Adon. We'll discuss that soon. However, the Boshet is debatable. All the other elements is Chai. Now the Gemara says, "Hamakeh Tani va'edim she'amru me'edim if witnesses come along and say we testify about this individual, shesima shtei einav ke'echat that he blinded, this is eved both eyes at the same time. Or he knocked out both his teeth at the same time. Well, because he becomes free when? He becomes free when his eye's knocked out. So prior to that point, because at the same time it's happening, he's not chay for the other eye. He wasn't yet free. However, if you knock one eye out and then the other eye out, then the first eye he goes free, but nocturnal demeshinia, and he has to pay the five elements, full five elements of compensation for the second eye. That's what it sounds like. Okay. However, what's interesting, you might think that's pashut, no? Because first eye he knocked out, he goes free. The second eye has to pay full compensation because he's now a free person. However, Baal says, "Birim Yochanan zoto merit shamin la'avadim boshet." You can see from here, forever you have to pay boshet. Now, where did that come out of the sugya? I thought the fact that we're paying him is because he's completely free after the first eye was knocked out. Why are you saying for avadim you have to pay boshet? So here it's a short marafolda, very important marafolda, because he says, first he says zoto merit shamin la'avadim boshet. It says yesh li p'mor hamufurash ba minted yesh la'ed boshet. We already explained that's a debate between Hanakama and Rebbe Yehuda. So what's Rabbi Yochanan teaching us? So my commercial Rabbi Yochanan. So he says, Nired Rotzon Romar, Mu'ukav Shtar Shichrur. Now, if you remember, we saw this debate back in Kiddushin, that if you knock out his eye, does he still need a Shtar Shichrur or not? Because do we say he's immediately free? Or there's no longer, if you like, any monetary connection that the Adon has over the David, but he still needs his Shtar Shichrur for this, let's call it Shibud Isurim, or whatever you want to call it that. Okay? So this is according to the opinion, it sounds like the Shira of Yochanan, that he'll still need a Shtar Shichrur. So even though he's, what we're trying to say, that even though he's so-called free, he still has a din of an Eved, and yet we're chay of the five elements on compensation. So therefore you can see in that situation still that even though he still has a din eved midin yisurim and not me mamon, that boshet applies to eved knani. However, and what's the kamashman? What's the chidush there? De'eina boshet b'shvil boshet rabo. In other words, when the chachamim said in the Mishnah, we saw a debate whether boshet is chayev or not. And where did the money go to? Went to the adon. Whose boshet are we compensating here? You might think when the Chachamim said, oh, he has to pay Boshet, it's because of the Boshet that's a cause to, I don't know, the master. That's why I have to pay Boshet. But Kamash Manan, we're seeing here that in this situation when one eye was knocked out and the full Shtar Shichrur has been given, therefore he's still considered, if you like, an Eved, but he's independent Mamoni. And nonetheless, we give him the full five elements of compensation. We see that the boshet is paid not for the boshet for the Adon, but for the boshet that was called the Eved. So Eved Knani has its own boshet. Again, you might think that the whole debate in the Mishnah is regarding boshet, whether it has to be paid because it's boshet to the Adon or not. Now we're saying we see from this flow of the Sugya that no, the whole debate is whether boshet applies to the Eved. Forget the Adon. The Adon's not in the picture. Yeah, he might get the money because the Adon and the compensation goes to the Adon. He collects the funds. But it's a boshet that was called the Eved that's a machloket. Rabbi Yochanan says no. And Chachamim say, Tanakhama says for sure he has to pay boshet. But it's a boshet that goes to him. What's the ra'aya? The ra'aya is that because if you knock out one eye and then the other, all five elements of compensation have to be given to the Eved. And this is despite the fact it says that Din Eved mitzadi surim and he hasn't received his shtar shichrur. Nonetheless, all of it go to him. Okay, yeah, fair. I think it was really, it's like such a short marafolda, but there's so many principles inside. I think it's important to flesh out. Okay, let's continue. Ma says, Rav Las says, B'shem Rav Yochanan, Hamakdish ma'aseh ade atzmo, if someone's makdish all his entire property. Sorry, start again, wrong. His ma'aseh ade atzmo, meaning all his work output, you know, his earnings, his profession, like all the money he's making. Then all of them is kiddush. Now what's a kiddush there? The kiddush there is you might think that, 1 second. Yeah, I'll explain. You might think that, what's he going to live on? So you might think there is makdish ol k'maasei adav. I mean, people need an income, don't they? So you might think that, oh, he means everything except for my food I'm going to be able to eat. Like my basic needs, everything on top of that is going to be hekdesh. So the Gemash Blah, no, everything is Kadesh. We'll discuss it as we go in the Gemara further. But the Chazar Vatanim got another bright to the Torah. Hamakdish Maseya De Eved Yotze Lo Behem Parnasato Vashar Hekdesh. But if you the Adon says the same thing about his Eved, then we say that really all that becomes Hekdesh is everything over and above the basic amount that's needed to support the Eved. So why is it? Why is it when it comes to himself, the whole thing is absolutely kadosh, meaning there's not a cent he can keep for himself. However, when it comes to the Eved, the Masiyah de Eved, well, it's only that which is an above the basic needs of the Eved that it becomes hektish. What's the difference? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Mitzuyin Israel Lefarnes Bnei Chorin Yotam Me'avadim. What it's saying is the reason why, let's just go back a sec. Why is it when he's makdish his own property, his own Masiyah Dayim, that we say it's all hektish? What about what's he going to eat? Because we say, I'll just show you here now, which is commend the full day, says Kulam Kadosh Pui Panes Beshalim, and other people can support him. V'lo Amrina, we don't tell our Tal Dotto Lahachi, they wouldn't get to this state. El Yotzi Mehem Parnasato, Shelo Yamut Barav, the Masik, the Mesuyin, and Israel Panes Panechorem. In other words, when someone Makdish or Messi Adav, you can say that he was able to rely on the fact that other people would be supporting him and giving him his basic needs. Okay? In other words, that is Mitzuyin Amisra. Like it's Amisra there. We've got Kupa funds and things to look after people. Even though it's a self-inflicted situation, that would be it. So therefore, when the Gemara says, Mitzuyin Israel lefanes b'nei chorim v'tem avadim, is that more people, if you like, are more ready to support b'nei chorim than avadim. So therefore, when he's makdish masei adav, you can say it's all kadosh and bikar, and therefore nothing is excluded because other people support him. But an Eved's a different situation. Who's going to support an Eved? So therefore, when it's makdish masei adav, it's not including at least the basic amount to support this Eved to survive. The Gemara says, one second, lo ken amar Rabbi Yochanan kotei yad avdo chaveron notel nezek tzar ripui shevet o boshet. Ba'alei yipanes min atzaka. He says, but listen, if someone cuts off the hand of the Eved of his friend, the Rabbah takes all five elements of compensation. The Eved who can't work now is simply will be supported from tzedakah. So you see that, you know, we look at to the kupa or the tzedakah fund to support avadim. So what are you talking about? Isn't the kasha? So he says, no, Amar Rav Acha Matsuni Sulafanes Avadim Kitaim, your termina shlemim. In other words, it's somewhat like a hierarchy of needs in people's consciousness, which is true. People align with certain causes more than they do others. When it comes to an Israel and Israel, people will help them out. When it comes to an Eved who is maimed, for sure, they also people's heart open up to such a cause. But in somebody else's Eved, well, you're not going to find many people will find that an important need. And therefore, that's why if it's Makdish Masiyah Dei Eved, then it wouldn't have included the basic needs. But the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Ha, Reb Yochanan, Achil Kupad. He had some meat. The Ya'iv Le'avdei. And he gave some of it to his Eved. He drank wine, shtei chamar, v'yayv la'avdei, and he gave to his Eved as well. The kari nafshi, he referred to himself, halo b'beten oseini asahu. The, if you like, the stomach that created me, created him. V'choroneu b'rechem echad. In other words, we're both human beings. That's what he's saying. And if I'm a human being, he's a human being, I have to look at where we're both, there's very little difference in terms of where we came from. We both came out of a mother's stomach, so therefore I should support him. So you see, there is a sense of duty or importance to support him and about him. And I says, well, careful. Amri tamad b'minat adin, baram hach b'minat harachamim. Makes a difference. Meaning, when it comes to b'minat adin, people aren't mitzuyin niparnes l'shleimim. However, when it comes to, if you like, midat rachamim, going b'lifnim mishrat adin, that was a different situation. That is what is, the case of Ryokhan is going beyond the letter of the law, if you like. Just one more point, sorry. The way I've explained the sugya has been, I've been reading it as mitsuyin, meaning more, if you like, it's common, more common, it's like mitsui. However, there's another way to read the sugya, which Art Score brings as one way, is that also it's actually mitsuvim, meaning one is like, when it says mitsuvim yoter, it's you're commanded more, meaning there's a sense of like precedence. For example, Israel more than ever, this maimed more than ever itself. And that might make a bit more sense towards the end of the sugya when we said one's midyat adin, one is midyat harachamim. Maybe more in that sense that it's, you know, one's midyat adin in terms of the level of precedence, and nonetheless, you went lifnim reshut adin to look after this evet. Okay, etc. Have a good day. Kol tov.